Jackie, and I'm going to be reading from the Bible this morning. We're going to be reading from Matthew 7, verses 13 to 29. Enter through the narrow gate, for the wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but the small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. Praise be to God.
Thanks, Jackie. Well, please leave your Bibles open there if you have one. My name is Simon. If we haven't met before, I normally attend 4:15 and 6, and this is actually my last time here at 10:30, I think for the rest of the year, maybe. Well, you can always see me somewhere else. Anyway, I think that's how it is, but I could be wrong. But let's put that out of our brains. Let's pray that God would help us to understand his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that you speak to us in it. Father, please help us to understand what your word is saying to us right now. Father, if we have distractions going on in our minds, whatever they might be, worries of the coming week or something else, help us to push them to the side. Give us peace now so that we can concentrate on your word, understand it. We pray that you'd work in us by your Spirit and apply your word to our lives. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this week it's been raining a lot down south. It's been raining heaps. I'm not sure if you've seen that on the news. There's been lots of flooding, one in 50-year events, one in 100-year events. There's been lots of flooding down south, lots of evacuation orders given. And on Wednesday morning, I saw that a place called Tabulum, which is kind of where I used to, or near where I used to live in New South Wales, they were given evacuation orders. Parts of that town, Tabulum, had to kind of evacuate. And it kind of got me thinking. Let me just pause for a moment. This clicker is not working. I hate this clicker. It really bugs me. Yes, there we go. Beautiful. Okay. Well, there we are. Anyway, it got me thinking about the floods, and it reminded me of the floods that were here in Townsville in 2019. And it reminded me that making the decision to kind of evacuate, it is a hard decision to make. On the Sunday night, when everything kind of went pear-shaped, when Mayor Jenny Hill said, you know what, the floodgates are going to open to 100%, there's too much pressure on the dam wall, you know, and you had to evacuate from your house by 8 p.m. if you kind of lived in the area, it was hard to know what to do. It was hard to know what to do with council's advice. And so there were lots of people out in the street with their tape measures, kind of measuring, will the water actually come into our house?
Some people evacuated straight away. Some people waited. It was hard to know what to do. It was hard to know which way to go. Part of the confusion, I think, was because council, and no offence to council, they had no real idea what was about to happen. It was an unprecedented event. But we had a choice to make. And so we decided to leave our house in the last minutes, like literally the last minutes before 8 p.m. We got in the car and we went to the McLaren's house. And we'll talk more about that soon. Very welcoming, the McLaren's. Anyway, it turned out that it wasn't necessary to leave our house. Now, it was hard to know what to do. The rain just kind of kept coming. It was raining so hard. We had a choice to make, but there were different consequences depending on where you lived in Townsville. And so as we come to the end of the Sermon on the Mount today, we all have a choice to make. Which way are we going to go with Jesus' words? Are we going to hear them and put them into practice? Or are we going to choose some other way? But this time, the consequences won't vary, like the floods here in Townsville. You know, if you ignore Jesus' words, you won't get lucky. You won't somehow chance it and it'll all work out sweet for you. Jesus is clear. There are only two options, only two ways. One leads to life and one leads to destruction. What are you going to do with Jesus' words as you hear them? Are you going to put them into practice? Are you going to do what they say? Well, that's the choice before all of us this morning. Well, please have your Bibles open there at Matthew chapter 7. The verses will also be on the screen as well. Jesus starts this passage today by saying, you know what? There's only two options. Well, please have a look at verses 13 and 14 with me. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Jesus is calling us, in fact, he's commanding us here, to enter through the narrow gate, which we'll see in a little while is all about listening to Jesus and following his words. Jesus is calling us to make the right response to the Sermon on the Mount, because many won't. Only a few will go the narrow road. Jesus says, wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, that leads to God's final judgment. See, many people, after hearing Jesus' words, they'll kind of just continue living on how they were already living. They'll just kind of go with the crowds. They'll go with the masses. They'll think it's more about the journey than the destination. Many people, when they hear Jesus' words, will just ignore them. They'll go through the wide gate. They'll go down the broad road, and it leads to destruction. I'm not sure why we're there. Amen. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. Jesus is saying there are not many people who will hear his words and do what they say. Now, it's important to get our heads around what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is not saying that somehow our works or our actions will make us right with God. Now, remember how the Sermon on the Mount started. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We come into the kingdom by realizing that we are spiritually bankrupt, by realizing that we have nothing to offer. And we trust in Jesus, who later on in Matthew's gospel will die on the cross to pay for our sin. But when we trust in Jesus, we are called to live in response to what he's done for us. We are called to live in a way that's pleasing to God. We are called to love God and to love others. And this won't be easy. In fact, this will be hard. Lots of hard choices. And the sad reality is, not many people will go down the narrow road. Lots of people will go with the crowds, will go with the masses. They'll go through the wide gate and the broad road. Only a few will follow Jesus. Now, back in the Townsville floods, when the evacuation order was given, there was potentially going to be about 0.5 metre of water in our street. And so initially, we were going to ignore the advice. We were thinking, you know what, we've got this. We've got a boat in the backyard. If it kind of floods, we'll just push the boat off the trailer and we'll kind of float around. Maybe we could ski in the street or something fun like that. We could be on the news. That'd be kind of cool. We also have lots of life jackets because we run a camp that's, you know, involves skiing and stuff like that. We have lots of life jackets in our garage, about 30 or something. If you ever want to go life jacket, get a life jacket, come see us. But we had one on the table for every single person. We had 6 life jackets on the table, right sizes, ready to go. We had an inflatable canoe next to the table. You know, just kind of think, if it goes pear-shaped, we're going to pump that up. We had dolphin torches. We were ready for this. But then you know what? Deb's family just kept ringing. They just kept watching Channel 9 News and said, "Keep ringing, just go." You know, my family kept ringing, "Just go." People from town saying, "Just go." And we have little children, and I thought about, like, you know, what do we do? And if it goes pear-shaped, do we kind of climb into the roof of the little children? That wouldn't go down so well, would it? Doing that would be dramatic for everyone, I think. And so at the last minute, at 7:40 p.m., I decided it was time to go. And one of our kids at that point needed to go to the toilet. And I was like, "Mate, just get in the car." And he's like, "What's the problem?" I was like, "Get in the car, we're going." It was pretty intense those last few minutes before 8 p.m. I actually think we were probably driving in the car at about 8:05, to be honest, as we were kind of fanging out to the McLaren's house. It was an intense time. It was an intense time. But when we woke up in the morning, our street was fine. There was no water in our street. There was no water in our house. The warnings didn't come to fruition in our area. Although many of us know other people who live in different parts of Townsville, and it was certainly different for them. Well, Jesus' warning here, it's not a 50-50 gamble that might pay off for us. There are only two roads. You can hear Jesus' words and put them into practice, or you can hear Jesus' words and do whatever you want. Go the wide path. But Jesus' warnings, they are not 50-50. Only those who come to Jesus spiritually bankrupt and trust in him and live in response to his grace, only those people will be safe in the end. And Jesus is telling us, not many people will take this path. Not many people go the narrow way, which is really sad, isn't it? But it can also be encouraging to us. It can be encouraging to us to know that Christianity is never going to be cool. Christianity is never going to be the majority. It's always going to be the minority. It won't be the most travelled path. If you follow Jesus, you will be going against the masses. You will be going against the crowds. Not many people will go the narrow way. And so when not many people turn up to Bible study, or not many people turn up to church, or whatever it might be, that's how Jesus said it would be. Only a few would go on the narrow way. And as you think about your children, maybe you think, you know what? My children, they don't have many Christian friends who actually believe in Jesus. You know what? Jesus said that would be the case. Push on. Keep listening to Jesus. Hear his words and put them into practice, because not many people will do that. Not many people will go the narrow way. And it's tough. Well, Jesus is calling us to listen to his words, to follow him. And he says, as you do that, be careful. Be careful of people who come in and say something else. Be careful of false prophets. Be careful of false teachers. That's really where Jesus goes next. He says, on this narrow way, watch out for false prophets. Well, have a look with me at verse 15 and the first half of verse 16. It's really hard to get the clicker just to go one. I've really got to focus my attention to do that. Anyway, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Jesus is telling us to watch out for people who say they're prophets or teachers of God's people. They might look legit on the outside, but on the inside, they are ferocious wolves. And at the start of verse 16, he says, you know what? you'll recognize them by their fruit. And he expands on that in the following verses. Jesus is saying it won't always be easy to spot a false prophet or a false teacher. They might look legit, they might say the right things, but by the fruit of their ministry, you'll be able to see whether or not they're legit. See, a good tree will bear good fruit, and a bad tree will bear bad fruit. Likewise, a good tree can't bear bad fruit, and a bad tree can't bear good fruit. You may not be able to spot a false prophet or a false teacher straight away, but after a while, you will recognize them by their fruit. And actually, back towards the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. It's wonderful seeing the connections in the Sermon on the Mount, the links. This is what Jesus says. Matthew 5, verse 19. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says the way to spot a false prophet or the way to spot a false teacher is they won't take all of his words seriously, and they'll teach others to do the same. So be really careful who you listen to, who you read, who you watch on YouTube or on Facebook. Be really careful with that stuff. Be careful with Jason and Chris and myself, because if we're dodgy, it might not be obvious straight away. And if we're selling something that isn't all of Jesus' words, well, that's very damaging. That actually leads to destruction. Remember, Jesus says there's only two ways to go with his words. You can listen to them and kind of put all of them into practice, or you can go your own way. Go through the wide gate, go on the broad road, but it leads to destruction. Well, as I was doing some reading for this talk this week, I read about Thomas Jefferson, America's third president. I know nothing of American history, but I read about it in a book this week. But he was a guy who thought that Jesus was a great man, but he didn't want to follow all of Jesus. And so as he studied the Gospels, as he worked through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he was looking for the diamonds and trying to sort out what were the dunghills. That's kind of the quote, right? And part of what he couldn't accept in the Gospels was miracles. They're not logical, they make no sense. He couldn't accept them. And so what he would do is cut them, get the old scissors out, and cut the miracles out of the Gospels. Just take them right on out. Now, if that kind of person is a false prophet or a false teacher, they're kind of easy to spot, right? They rock up to Bible study and you kind of see their Bible and there's parts missing and you're kind of like, what happened to your Bible, man? And then they say, you know, like, the dog ate it. Well, you know, dogs aren't going to, like, cut out really neat little bits, are they? They're going to kind of mung on it and there'll be saliva and all sorts. You know, that's not going to be the excuse, right? If someone rocks up to Bible study and there's lots of little bits cut out and they sort of say to you, you know what, didn't really like those bits, alarm bells should start ringing in your head. Like, whoa, what is going on here with this person? But the reality is, a person who kind of cuts out chunks of their Bible, they are very easy to spot. If they're a false prophet, a false teacher, you'll spot them from a mile away. The most dangerous kind of false teacher or prophet is the one that's hard to spot. The one that's selling a very kind of similar gospel, but in the end, it's actually very different. And there are lots of false gospels out there. One of the false gospels that you might have heard of is called the prosperity gospel. That's the idea that if you have enough faith or you claim it in Jesus' name, you can have all the health and all the wealth and you'll have the best life right now. You have the best life here on earth. Well, that's a misunderstanding of what Jesus said. Jesus said, first seek his kingdom and he'll look after us. He will look after us and care for us in this world. But our best life won't be in this life. It'll be in the life to come, in the new heavens and the new earth. This world's still broken, still sinful, and so life will be hard here. But Jesus will be with us and he'll care for us. So be careful of the prosperity gospel. But I think most of us might kind of be aware of that. Another false gospel that we might be more susceptible to is called easy believerism. That's the idea that, you know, you trust in Jesus and he makes you right with God, and that is wonderfully true. But once I've got my golden ticket of doing that, it doesn't really matter how I live. I kind of just do whatever I want to live. But that's not listening to Jesus and all of his words. Jesus says later on in Matthew chapter 16, he says, you know what? If you want to follow me, you've got to pick up your cross and follow me. You've actually got to die to yourself as you follow me and live for me. The Apostle Paul, commissioned by Jesus, you know, he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, what, in view of God's mercy or God's mercies, be living sacrifices. We're called to die to ourselves and to keep dying to ourselves and to use the gifts that God has given us to love and serve his people. We are saved by believing in Jesus, but we are called to live in response to that. And that, my friends, will be difficult for us to do. Well, if any of you ever have a problem with anything I say, or anything Chris says, or anything Jason says, or the way that we kind of live our lives, if you have a problem with that, you need to come and talk to us. Do it in loving and caring ways, because we're all sensitive souls. Please do it that way. Maybe some sort of code. If you come up to me, Simon, and say, Simon, I need to talk to you. I'll know that I need to prepare myself rather than just like, oh yeah, whatever. But do come and talk to us. It is really important, because here at Willows, we've been given the primary responsibility of teaching you guys God's word. We're called teaching elders, and that means we're meant to teach you what God's word says. That's a big responsibility. So pray for us as we kind of prepare God's word each week. Pray that we teach God's word faithfully and clearly, that we teach all of Jesus' words, not just the easy bits, not just our hobby horses. Pray that we preach even the hard stuff as well. Well, Jesus has been saying there are only two ways, only two roads, one leading to life and one leading to destruction. And so be careful who you listen to. Watch out for false prophets, false teachers. And he finishes by saying, be careful with your own personal choices as well. Build your house on the rock and not on the sand. Now, in verses 21 to 23, Jesus talks about people who say, Lord, Lord, to Jesus, and they even serve Jesus in his name, but they're people who don't really take Jesus' words in and live out all of them. They're deluded. And so in the end, at the great judgment, Jesus will say, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Now that's a really scary thought, isn't it? People who look like they actually follow Jesus, but they're actually not really. And this little section here, it kind of acts as a link. It's a link between the false prophets, and it's a link between us. How do we not be like that? Well, you know what we do? We listen to Jesus. We put his words into practice. That's how we build our house on the rock. We'll have a look at verses 24 and 25 with me. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Jesus is saying, if you want to stand in the coming storm, if you want to stand in the coming judgment, then build your house on the rock. How do we build a house on the rock? Well, we listen to Jesus and we put his words into practice. That's the only way to be safe in the coming judgment. It's the only way to be safe in the storms of life. When cancer comes, when death comes, when your boss's business goes broke, when some other major life event happens, listening to Jesus and putting his words into practice will help you to make it through the storms of life, holding on to Jesus. But it'll also help you to make it through that final storm, that final judgment, when Jesus returns. But if we hear Jesus and we don't put his words into practice, well, then we're like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And Jesus outlines that in verses 26 and 27. See, some people, they might look like their life is all together, but they're actually not living in response to Jesus. They're not actually listening to all of his words. And so when the storms of life come, when the final storm comes, their way of life will be washed away from underneath them. And it'll all come down with a great crash, just like sandcastles do when the tide comes in and the waves wash them over. Now, this analogy, it makes a lot of sense to us. I think most of us are thinking, you know what? We want to build our house on the rock. That's what we want to do. But why do so many people build their house on the sand? I think many people build their house on the sand because it's much easier to do that. It's much easier building on sand. You know that. It's much harder building on the rock, digging into the rock. That's much harder. Listening to Jesus and putting his words into practice in your life, that is hard work. Well, I'm sure that most of you have been to the beach to make sandcastles before. And if you haven't, please talk to me afterwards. We can go down to the strand and do it. Not today. I've got some things happening, but some other time. But you know what? The sand on the strand actually is not very good sand for building sandcastles, is it? No. Anyway, you have to go somewhere else, to another beach, maybe island somewhere. Anyway, sandcastles, making them. It's like a rite of humanity to do it. Anyway, we love doing it as a family, kind of getting the sandcastles out. We make the big one, and the boys make like mountain bike tracks on the outside edge of the sandcastles. They love that sort of thing. The girls are on the inside of the sandcastle, like in the water playing. It's lots of fun. And we spend hours doing it when we're at the beach. But we know, right? We know that when the tide changes and the waves come in, we know it's going to get washed away. We all know that, right? Recently, we're on holidays and we're at a place called Noosa, at this place called Little Cove. It's a beautiful beach. And when the tide's in, the rocks from the beach aren't that far away. And so we thought, you know what? We're going to build a sandcastle out of rocks. Yeah, that's right. We're going to do it. It was much harder work. We had to carry the rocks down, make the pond thing. It was much harder work with all the boys. Everyone else is looking at us like, you guys are idiots. But we were having fun doing it. But then, you know what? As the tide came in, as the waves came in, it lasted. A little bit anyway. You know what? When the cyclone comes, it'll knock it clean away, I reckon, those rocks will be gone. If we go back there now, it won't be there. But you kind of get the idea, don't you? All of us know that sandcastles and stuff made on sand, it'll wash away. And Jesus is saying it's the same with following him. If you hear him, you actually don't put his words into practice. When the storms come, when the final storm comes, it'll all come down with a great crash. It won't lead to life, but to destruction. Which I think leaves us all with a choice to make as we kind of get to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Which way will we go? Will we go the narrow way, which is hard, involves building on rock? Or will we go the broad way? It's easy. Lots of people go that way. The crowds go that way. Then the masses will go that way. Which way will you go? Will it be the narrow way or the broad way? Well, if you want to go the narrow way, it's actually going to involve lots of hard decisions, extremely hard decisions. Building your house on the rock will actually be quite hard to do. Think about these decisions that Christians might have to make as they kind of listen to Jesus and put his words into practice. Think about the person who struggles with same-sex attraction and they're not at all attracted to members of the opposite sex. For them, it's going to mean a life of celibacy if they want to treat Jesus' words seriously. For the person who would love a partner, a husband or a wife, but just can't seem to find someone who's a Christian who fits that kind of category, it's going to mean for them being content in their circumstances and not going out into the world and just finding anyone with a pulse. For the person who is married, who can't have children, it's going to mean seeking medical help, but only medical help that lines up with the Bible as they seek to live Jesus' way and put his words into practice. What about the person who loves to go out on the town and loves to just drink lots and lots and has lots of fun doing that? Well, for them, it's going to mean stopping doing that. Living in a self-controlled way that is pleasing to God. See, living Jesus' way is going to mean lots of hard decisions for all of us. Whatever your struggle might be, it's going to mean lots of hard decisions to go the narrow way to build your house on the rock. Last Friday, in our family WhatsApp group, my sister posted some photos. She was going away for the weekend. She was staying in a beautiful place on the Sunshine Coast. I had a busy day and I had more to do, and I just thought, you suck. She wrote, those photos suck. Smiley face. Smiley face makes all that sort of thing right, doesn't it? You know, when you're trying to kind of say that thing, you just the smiley face, you're like, I'm only joking. But I think deep down, I wasn't really joking. But you know what? It's good to go away for the weekend. It's a lovely thing to do. It's a good way to have holidays and be refreshed. They're beautiful things to do. But the idea of just kind of going away whenever you want to go away, of just serving yourself, it's just so appealing to me. The grass, it just looks so green. Remember once sort of kiking back on a dam back to a house we're staying at with some friends who were in ministry, and I was thinking, you know what? The thing that's most likely to pull me away from Jesus is the life of just serving myself and doing whatever I want to do. It's just so appealing for me. The grass, it looks so rich and green. But you know what? If I'm going to take Jesus' words seriously, Jesus calls me to pick up my cross and to follow him, to die to myself and to follow him. Romans 12 verse 1 tells me, you know what? In view of what Jesus has done, be a living sacrifice. Keep dying to yourself. Actually, serve God in response to what Jesus has done. Use the gifts that you've been given to love and serve others. Friends, listening to Jesus and putting his words into practice is going to actually be really hard. And so we have a choice to make. Which way are you going to go with Jesus' words? Are you going to listen to them and put them into practice? Or are you going to go your own way? Go through the wide gate, go on the broad road, but know that that leads to destruction. Which way will you go? Well, remember, if we go the narrow way, Jesus said last week that he'll help us. So let's pray that he would help us to live his way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. I thank you that you speak to us in it. Father, we pray that you'd help us to understand it. Father, help us to apply it to our lives. Father, help us to go the narrow way. Help us to build our house on the rock. Help us to listen to Jesus' words and to put them into practice. Help us know that we're spiritually bankrupt. We have nothing to offer. Help us to cling to Jesus and to live in response to that. Father, help us to know that will be hard to do. It will involve lots of hard choices. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us to live your way. Help us to go the narrow way. Help us to love your word, to love your way. And help us to know that it leads to life. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.